That age that you will be still playing for the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning and blessings in the name of the Lord. All over the sanctuary right now, if you have your Bibles with you, whether in printed or digital format, I want you to hold God's Word up in the air. Amen. All over the sanctuary, praise God. Please turn in the Word of God to Hebrews chapter 10, picking it up at verse 19 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 25. And I want you to just share with you before I begin this morning that today's message may be in spots a difficult message to hear. I want you to understand that. I want you to think about the church itself. So let me ask you, Emmanuel Baptist Church, do you love your church?
Amen.
Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You see, if you are a born-again believer, then you are instantly added to the roles of the universal church. You are a part of Christ's church. Now, most people forget that Paul's letters were all to the local church. When he wrote to Colossae, he wrote to the Philippians, he wrote to the Ephesians, and then the churches throughout all of Galatia, and the churches in the church in Corinth. Paul's letters were to local churches. And yet, at the same time, some choose not to be, for whatever reasons, and I know that there could be many, a member, visibly, organically, or personally, of the local church, if you know what I'm talking about. Now, let me just share this with you. If you are the thief on the cross, or you are a Muslim convert because you found a Bible and received Jesus Christ, and there are no churches anywhere in your area, and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if you happen to be stranded alone on an island with only a Bible that you found and you received the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if there are no churches teaching biblical truth at all in your area. Then in each of those circumstances, there is a reason not to be a member of the local church because it does not exist in that context. But according to the Word of God, if you are outside of those categories, you belong in church. Now, people who claim to be believers and who refuse to join the local church in the face of clear and proper biblical instruction are a cause of concern to the universal church. Amen? In other words, God has put you in this church as a member of the body of Christ. And if you are not here, then you are missed. God did not save us to be just a part of the universal church and not be part of the local church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so whenever we look in Paul's epistles, he's not addressing some general gathering of Christians. He's clearly addressing the local church. The book of Hebrews is doing this as well in our passage today. In other words, he is addressing those that by grace have been added to Christ's body. And have identified themselves with others in their community because someone in that community invited them to church or shared the gospel with them or however they got saved. They became part of the local congregation because at some point they made a profession of Christ in church. Amen? Hallelujah. So I want you to retain that thought as we go into today's passage. Think on it. Focus on the area and the idea of the local church as we look at today's passages. If you have your Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 19 through 25. If you're there, please say amen.
Yes.
Reading from the Word of God. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. God is so faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? It's the day of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand, Jesus is returning. He's returning in glory, and He's returning for His church. He may come in the next 5 seconds, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. All right? He may come by the end of this service. If not by the end of this service, surely before we get home. If not by the time we get home, surely this week or this month. But here's what we do know. He's coming back again. And you know what He's coming for? He's coming for you, and He's coming for me. Amen? Now friends, with all of those things said, the modern church has a genuine problem. And that genuine problem is of lagging and sagging church attendance. Now there can be many, many reasons for that, and we're going to talk about some of them today. But I want you guys to understand that I'm speaking to you with the pastor's heart, and I understand that there are times when you simply cannot make it in here. There's physical reasons, there's your job changes, whatever. I'm not talking about those circumstances today. Amen? There may be times where at your age, even though you may be older, that your hearing is still perfectly fine and it's just too loud in here. We want you guys to know, for you may have noticed this week, that it was markedly better. Our team was here late last night. It might have been early this morning working on the sound. Matter of fact, I think these guys deserve a round of applause for at least for their effort. Amen? And they're going to continue working on it. But all that I can say is that I love the spirit of worship that we have in this church. Okay, we'll work out the sound issues. Amen? If you get upset about that, come see the pastor. And by the way, if it just something happens that week and something's too loud, stand out in the foyer and pray for us. Say, Lord, I'm praying for Pastor Larry that he will do something with that. Amen? Give him some wisdom up there. But the modern church has a genuine problem, which is lagging and sagging church attendance. Some folks act like they're doing God a favor sometimes when they show up for church. I think I'll do God a favor today and show up. You know, in ecclesiastical days, okay, in the Middle Ages, it was said that some folks went to church 3 times in their life. First when they were born to be christened. The second time when they were married, and the third time when they were buried. Or to put it a better way, when they were hatched, when they were matched, and when they were dispatched. First time they were sprinkled with water, the second time they got some rice, and the third time they got dirt in their face. But in the early church, listen carefully now, in the early church, if you willingly, deliberately missed church service, they assumed that you had gone back to your ways, or you were never saved to start with. That was the assumption. You go look, read some of the early church fathers. People they assumed that you had gone back into the world because you never had a personal, genuine relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's not my call, by the way, amen. That's between you and the Lord. You know, here's what I know. I'm saved, and I'm excited about it. Matter of fact, sometimes I'm downright rowdy about it. And sometimes when the worship gets going or the young people are singing, I don't know whether to sing or break dance up here. But we don't want to go there, do we? Amen? Although I'm sure the kids would love to take pictures of that and sell tickets. Now, why did the early church take that position? It's because they saw the worship service not only as a privilege, but as a sacred duty of the Christian life. This is where we meet. This is where our family comes together. Now, there are 3 times in today's passage where the writer of Hebrews uses the phrase, let us. Verse 22, if you look at it, he says, let us draw what? Let us draw near. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Verse 24 says, let us consider one another and to provoke unto love and to what? Good works. You see, friends, right here, he's not talking to individuals in this let us. He's talking corporately. All 3 times, he's talking to the assembly of the saints. Look around the congregation. Look around the sanctuary here, folks. Everybody look around. Look at how nice everybody looks this morning. Oh, you guys look so spiritual. This is the assembly of the saints. I didn't say go waving and making smiley faces at each other. This is the assembly of the saints. This is the church congregation. Emmanuel Baptist Church. has been blessed of God. I believe that with all my heart. I have not found an unkind person anywhere here. I have not found a person that's not here because they want to further the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have not found anyone here that does not want to worship God. I have not found anyone here that doesn't love their church and love the folks in their church. And so far, you guys have shown incredible love for me. I have no idea why you are so kind to me, but I hope it never, ever stops. I suspect it has something to do with my wife, but we'll move on from that. Not only are we blessed of God, we are about to have our church 80th anniversary in January. 80 years! Hallelujah! Now, we're going to be forming a team in the month of September to start putting all that together. Amen? And I've been talking with some of our membership. I think it would be great if we get some of the pastors that have been the pastors here to come back. Amen? Hallelujah! We want them to come back and be here for the 80th anniversary. We're going to send them a plane ticket or if they're not too far away from here, send them some gas money. I'll tell them, you can go home and eat with Miss Audrey if you come. But we're about to celebrate our 80th anniversary, and your pastor wants to share his heart with you today about us being, in the words of today's message, better together. Amen. Better together. I have 3 points in today's message. If you have your notes, hold them up. What did I say last week? Husbands, it is not your wife's job to have your notes. Nor is it the husband's job to have the wife's notes. Unless you want them taking down notes of what the Lord is telling them for you to do. That one went right by. I worked hard on that. So look, our first point today, as we do things that we should be doing together, the first point is to worship together. Worship together. And if you would, please, either put it to the right or on the line immediately under that on the back of your bulletin. Exalt the Savior. When we worship together, we exalt the Savior. Look in verse 22 again. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith, having in our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure blood. It says, let us draw near. Now, drawing near to God is worship. Why have we met here today? Why did we come in this morning? To draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ and to worship Him in spirit and truth. You do not come to church primarily to hear a sermon. You do not come to church just to hear some music. The primary reason that we are all here today, the primary reason we come together on the Lord's Day, is to draw near to Jesus. That is why we are here. Now, some folks say, I've heard this said many times, well, I can do that alone and I can do that anywhere. Well, that's true. You should do that alone and you should do that anywhere, everywhere, and all the time. But you should still not forsake the assembly of the saints. Do not forsake the fellowship of God's people. The primary reason is to be here. Corporate worship is taught in Scripture. And we are commanded to come together. Well, Pastor, the person sitting next to me doesn't sing all that well. It's a little annoying. Well, sing louder. Let them say the same thing about you. Amen? Amen? Listen, there's a reason why the pastor sits right there. There's nobody around me to hear that. It is. I make a joyful noise, but it's not that wonderful. And so the point that we have here is to draw near to Him. It says that we're to enter into the holiest by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament times, the Holy of Holies was the innermost part of the temple or the tabernacle. It was the place where the Shekinah glory of the Lord was. And the writer of Hebrews says that we are to come through the veil into the Holy of Holies. Now, how is that possible? Because in the Old Testament, the high priest and the high priest alone could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year. But the writer of Hebrews says what? Let us together. Let us enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now just notice this. Only the one high priest could go into the Old Testament tabernacle. All of us can go in. If you're redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing keeping you out of the inner sanctuary. The high priest could only go in once a year. We can go into the Holy of Holies every day, amen? Every minute, any time that we want to. Not only individually, but on Sunday mornings, on Sunday nights, on Wednesday evenings, corporately. How? By the blood of Jesus. Amen. Listen, there is power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when you get a congregation of believers that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe they are washed in the blood, believe that there is power in the name of Jesus, then this community will see an army rising up. They will see an army rising up to share the glory of God. They will see an army rising up to reach out to the lost. There will be an army rising up to reach out to the folks in our community that are so desperately lost that they are so far from God that they can't hardly see the light whatsoever. And that's why God has sent the light within you. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you become the shining city on the hill. Amen? Just in case you didn't know that, brother back there, follow me on. I went right off my notes there. Listen, guys. The high priest could only go in once a year, and we get to go in every day, individually and corporally, by the blood of Jesus. And he says that we go in through the veil. Now, in the tabernacle, the veil was this huge curtain that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Now, I wasn't going to do this. I shared this with our Sunday night crowd and our Wednesday night crowd, but it's not going to keep me from doing it this morning. That veil consisted of four colors: purple, red, blue, and white thread woven together. Purple is what? Purple is the sign of the king. It's the sovereign God. It's the King of Kings. What does red signify? Suffering, sacrifice, the blood. Blue is the royal blue of the family, the royal family. Amen. And white signifies holiness. Now, all of those things, it says that Christ is signified or represented in that veil. Meaning what? How many gospels are there? Four. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew is all about Christ the King. Christ the King. What color is the king's? Purple. Mark is all about the suffering servant. The suffering servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the red gospel. The book of Luke is all about the Son of God, the inheritor of heaven, a member of the royal family. That's the royal blue. The book of John is all about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's all about the deity of Christ, the holiness of Christ. That's the white. Those four colors represented within the veil. Now, how do you get purple, folks? Equal measure of blue and red. You cannot have Christ the King without the suffering servant. You cannot have Christ the King without this inheritor of heaven. And you cannot have any of it unless He is the Son of God. All God's people give Him praise in His house. Amen. Now listen, guys. The picture here is of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 20 says that we enter through the veil, which is the body. So question, how are you going to come through that veil? Well, verse 19 says that we come through the blood. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, He bowed His head, He died in agony in His bloodshed. The Bible says what? The veil was torn from top to bottom. Top to bottom. It wasn't torn from the bottom to top as though a man had done it. It was torn from the top to the bottom as though God had done it. And the way into the Holy of Holies is now made clear. It's open by the sacrificial death, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way into the Holy of Holies. There is no other way to be saved but by the blood of Jesus. There is power in the name and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it is only by the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14 verse 6 says what? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I've heard folks say, well, you know, Pastor, I just believe that I'm going to be saved. I'm going to be redeemed. I'm going to be sanctified by living a life like the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if that's what you're counting on to get you to heaven, friend, you're not going. We're going to look around and not see you up there. Listen to me, church. That veil that separated people from the holy area from the holy of holies, that veil did not say come in. That veil said keep out. Because anyone that went in there in another unworthy manner would be killed. You know, they used to tie the rope around the priest. I've said this so many times. I'm sure you've heard it all your life in church. They tie a rope around the high priest with a bell on the rope. And he'd go into there. If they heard him hit the floor and the tinkle of the bell, they knew to drag him back out. That cuts down on bad preachers. Amen? In other words, the priest would die. That veil said, stay out. And the same thing is true about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says that if you receive me, you will be saved. But listen to me, friends. When you look at Jesus Christ, He is the Son of God. And His absolute royalty, His deity, His sinless humanity, and His pure righteousness do not say, come in. It says perfection is the requirement to come in. And my perfection keeps you out. But let me be that perfection for you. Simply receive me as your Lord. Simply receive me. It's only through His sacrificial death that a way is made into the Holy of Holies. Now, if you don't learn anything else today, I want you to learn something. I want you to learn this thing about salvation. Salvation is not done by learning lessons from the life of Christ. I'm going to say that again. Your salvation is not accomplished by learning lessons from the life of Christ. Salvation is receiving life from the sacrificial and atoning death of Christ. That's where salvation is found. Now, with that in mind, what is the writer of Hebrews talking about in our text? This entire passage is about church attendance. And the climax of the entire thing is found in verse 25. Take a look again, please. If you're there, say amen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, the more as you see the day approaching. What is the point? The point is this. You are the body of Christ. And the point is that each of you are here today, worshiping God in spirit and truth. If you're doing that, then you have just entered in through the veil into the Holy of Holies and are in the presence of the glory of God, because this is God's house. Amen. Jesus is to be preached from this pulpit. Jesus is to be sang from this praise team area and by the congregation here. Jesus is to be represented by our sound team. Jesus is to be preached by our greeters and our ushers. And it doesn't matter if it's in the Anglo-speaking congregation here or the Hispanic ministry next door or whoever's wandering the grounds right now. Christ is the head of Emmanuel Baptist Church. I have no idea why the Lord trusts me to be the preacher. None whatsoever. All I know is I'm eternally grateful for my salvation. And I will declare it from the mountaintops. I'll declare it from the streets. I can't tell you how many mornings. Well, it's every morning. I can tell you that right now. I can tell you how many mornings. It's every morning we come out here and we have to shoo away the homeless and let them know that they cannot stay on the ground. But I send them on their way with number one, a bottle of water. If they're soaking wet, I try to get some clothes for them out of the clothes hamper. If I have a protein bar, I give it to them. I invite them to church. And I tell them, if you'll come back every Monday at noon, I'll preach to you for 15 minutes and you can eat for an hour. And that's what God has called us to do. Amen? That's what God has called us to do. Every time we meet, we should be here to draw near to God. Not once a year like the high priest, but any time we like as an assembly of God's people. We're not just coming here to hear a sermon. We're not coming here to hear music or fellowship. We're coming here to draw near to Almighty God. Hallelujah. So let's exalt Him by worshiping Him together. Now that brings up a real question that I had early on in my ministry life. Why does God want us to worship Him? Why is that? Is God some egomaniac that He needs to be told how glorious He is or how great He is? No. God knows how glorious He is. God knows how good He is and how great He is. Listen, friends, God does not need our worship. This may surprise you, but our gifts do not enrich God. He owns it all. Amen. We are not here to worship God for what it does for God. We are here to worship God for what it does for us. It blesses us. It allows us to glorify our Father. Listen, friends, our fellowship does not improve God because He doesn't learn anything from us. Our praise doesn't make God more glorious. God wants us to worship Him not primarily for what worship does for Him, as I said a moment ago, but what it does for us individually and as a congregation. We come together as a congregation to worship the Lord. Isn't it good to be with believers when you just want to sing and shout? Isn't that good to worship the Lord together? What is worship? Worship is all that I am, responding to all that He is. Worship is the adoring contemplation of God as revealed in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving is not primarily worship. Petition is not primarily worship. They may be facets of worship, but what is worship? Worship is that intimate, personal relationship with God. Let me put it in a context you can understand. Suppose a lady is trapped in a burning building. And the flames are coming and she has no way to get herself out. But here comes a fireman. Fireman to the rescue. Here's her petition. Here's her petition. Save me. Save me. Please save me. What happens when he saves her? Her thanksgiving is, thank you for saving me. Thank you so much for saving me. See, that's the Christian. Save me, Lord. Thank you for saving me. But what is worship? It's that intimate relationship. Suppose the fireman and the lady he saved get married. She becomes his bride. They enter into this intimate relationship. That is closer to what true worship of God is. The intimate, personal relationship with Almighty God. Worship goes beyond petition. Worship goes beyond thanksgiving. Worship is the communing of man with God. Now, don't answer this out loud, but let me ask you this. How many of you have ever been to a boring worship service? That's a trick question, because there is no such thing as a boring worship service if you are worshiping. You might have been to a boring church service, but if you are worshiping God, it doesn't matter what people around you are doing. It's not boring, amen? Amen. Because our God is a great God. Amen. Our God is good. God is good and all the time. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Listen, friends, so let's worship in point one and exalt the Lord together. Moving on now, the second point together is that we will witness together. We are to witness together. Now, right to the side or underneath that, I want you to put this down. We are to evangelize the sinners. How many sinners we got in this room today? All you people kept your hands down. Shame on you. Just kidding, friends. Look at chapter 10, verse 23 one more time. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Says, let us hold fast. Let us not waver. See, the wavering that he's talking about is when we back off of going to church. What does God say when we back off of going to church? Well, it just so happens that God tells us what he thinks of that. In this same chapter, look down at verse 38. Look down at verse 38. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Now the just shall live by faith. Well, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? So far, so good. But if anyone draws back, uh-oh. My soul has no pleasure in him. My soul has no pleasure in him. Here's what God is saying there in that passage. You may believe in me, but when you draw back, when you aren't here, that does not please me. Don't draw back. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. I don't want this to be misunderstood. Jesus Christ and the church are not identical. But Jesus Christ and His church are inseparable. In the Bible, the church is called a body, a bride, and a building. Say amen on that one. Amen. I'm going to repeat that one more time. In the Bible, the church is called a body, a bride, and a building. As a body, Christ is the head. Amen?
Amen.
We are the members of that body. We have all different parts of the body sitting in here. The church cannot function without all the parts of the body. And now the head and the body are not identical. Amen? But the head and the body, for it to be a living entity, are inseparable. Separate your head from your body, and you got some big time trouble. Amen? So, the church is also called the bride of Christ. A bride and a groom become one flesh. Miss Ruth Ann and I are not identical. She says, amen. We are not identical, but in marriage we are inseparable. And we've been inseparable for almost 47 years. That's a long time. I know young people. I had one of the children one time asked me, he said, Pastor Larry, she was here last Sunday. She goes, Pastor Larry, how old are you? And I said, well, I'm 60. She goes, well, that was at the time, and it wasn't last week. I said, I'm 60. She goes, 60? That's almost dead. Good. My goodness. Okay, so listen, friends. We're not identical, but we are separated. We are inseparable. And Christ and His church are inseparable. Amen? Christ and His bride are inseparable. Then the church is also called a building at times. And this building rests on a foundation. And every building has some kind of foundation in it. Amen? But I want you guys to understand that this building rests on a foundation, and the cornerstone is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is nothing we do in this church that Christ is not declared the cornerstone. That is the only way to have a stable church building. Now, here are a few questions. This is the meat and potatoes of my message today. We'll be moving along in a moment here. Please don't get offended. Don't storm out. Give me a chance to clean this up. It's not meant to upset or offend anyone. Why is it some folks come on Sunday morning only? Why is that? Now, some can say, well, Pastor Larry, I work all week and I'm tired on Sunday evening. I got it. That's clear. Pastor Larry, I have to work on Sunday evening. Pastor Larry, it's my job. My job has changed. I have to go in there. But for anyone that says this, Pastor, once on Sunday is enough for me. Here's what I need to say to you. Newsflash, it's not about you. It's about Him. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And somehow the modern Christian has slipped into a consumer mentality about church. I'll take a little Sunday morning, nice music, a little bit of a sermon. That's good. I got what I need out of the buffet line. And that's not what God says. God says, for anyone that draws back, my soul has no pleasure in Him. Now listen to me, guys. It's not all about church attendance either. Amen? Being sanctified has very little to do with your total church attendance. Just sitting in a pew is not going to get you sanctified. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and living for Him will. Church attendance is not all about your witness, but it is a significant part of your witness. Amen?
Amen?
Getting quiet in here. That's all right. I'm moving on. I figure if I have you guys after this week, we're good to go for the next 20 years. Listen, guys. We are to be a witness to Christ and this community. We are to be a witness to Christ. God has blessed us with this property. And part of that blessing that we have is lights. Amen? Say amen.
Amen.
So guess what? When those lights are on Sunday evening and Wednesday evening, the community sees that those lights are on. And they know that we are here bearing witness to what we believe. And so I encourage you, if it's not your job, if it's not just because you're tired, if it's not just because something happened, and now I get it. If you're not physically able to drive because of your eyes, I get it. We understand that. I'll send Miss Ruth Ann to pick you up. Our final point, then we're going to move on. Now that I beat you guys all up, man, you're still sitting here and I don't see any real ugly faces out there, so we're doing good. Okay, next point. Work together. We are to work together. In other words, here's your little sub-point for that. Encourage the saints. Encourage the saints. We are to be an encouragement to one another. You see, if you look in your notes, if you look in your bulletin here, you'll notice on the fanfold, look at the back side of the fanfold there, it says better together or one another. I want you to tear that off and keep that with yourself on ways that we are to encourage one another. Wash one another's feet. You got that, Miss Ruthann? Prefer one another. Be of the same mind toward one another. On and on and on. We are to be an encouragement to one another. And those verses got us saying there's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. We need each other. Listen, church, when you come here, when you come to church, you're saying two things. Look up here, church. You're saying two things when you come here. First, God is important to me. Second, you people are important to me. You are my church family. You are where I have chosen to worship. You are where I have decided to serve the Lord. And each and every one of us, if possible, should be here for our major services. I've already said, I realize that sometimes you just can't do it physically. I get that. You know, right now, as a matter of fact, you may not have noticed this, but I know I'm going to mispronounce this, so Miss Janet, you can teach me afterwards, but not right now. I have like a plantar fascia, or whatever it's called, on the bottom of my heel. And so when I sit down, as long as I stay on my feet, I'm fine. And I sit down, it's okay. But when I get back up, it's like somebody's driving nails in the bottom of my feet. And so I was praying over here that when Brother Billy finished playing, that I could get up and I wouldn't look like I was three-quarters crippled getting back up here. So that's why I was saying, amen, give Billy a hand so you guys would look over there while I was walking up here. Yes, all right? So listen to me now, guys. Sometimes because of work, we can't make it here. Let me share my personal testimony here. I'm bivocational so many years. I'm pulling my way out of business right now since I've become the pastor here. But for the last 30 years, I have told every single employer that I work for, you will not have me on Sunday at all. Nor will you have me on Wednesdays after 5. There are no circumstances you will have me in those situations. And I just left it in God's hands. And guess what? Not one employer ever forced me to work. Not one. If that's where you are right now, leave that in the hands of the Lord. You know, when asked why, I simply told my employer. Listen, I'm not getting defensive here. This is your business. If my presence is a requirement for that, then you can do this without my presence. Bless somebody else with this job. But those days, those evenings, that's when I meet with the Lord in my church. And that's when I meet with my church family. I go there to see my church family. Emmanuel, this is my church. This is where I come to meet with my family. You are my family. This is where we meet. And we meet together on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Now, I'm really not scolding anyone here. I am not. I know. Listen, let me give you another example. Living Hope Baptist Church, before we merged, we did not have the opportunity to have Sunday school class for 14 years. What happens when you do that? You get out of the habit. Amen. And so our folks are getting back into the habit of coming for Sunday school classes. We get it. You have to get in there. We get that everybody cannot be here for every service. But let me just share this with you quickly as we're wrapping this up. You should never just miss church. Let me share a true story about a church in the 1500s. Back in those days, the churches all had big candelabras. All the big churches had big candelabras to light the sanctuaries when it got dark. But they had a church that couldn't afford the candelabras. And it was dark in there. And so they were having a problem with their attendance on Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings. And so the pastor asked every single congregation member, listen, bring your lantern. This Sunday only, bring your lantern. And please be here. We're going to have a food fellowship afterwards. That's how you get the folks in here. And so as the people would come, one at a time, they would hang their lantern on the end of the pews. And the more the people came, the brighter it got. And the brighter, and the brighter, and the more exciting that the church sanctuary was. If no one came, the church house was in darkness. Folks, if this is your church, then every single time you come, you are bringing the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that lives within you. And when you stay away, it's a little darker for the rest of us. We need your light here. Look up here, church. When you miss, all you've done is given Satan another victory. That's it. You've given him another victory. And I'm saying that as the world gets darker, the saints are to get brighter. Nothing can drive away the darkness but the light of Jesus Christ. Nothing can help this community but the light of the redeemed souls at Emmanuel Baptist Church. I firmly believe that. I firmly believe that. I firmly believe that God brought these two congregations together for a purpose. The Lord knew my personality. I'm pretty good at certain things and terrible at other things. I just am. That's why God gave me you. You see, I have a secret weapon here. I have a secret weapon that nobody else has. There's not another church, there's not another pastor anywhere in the rest of the world that has what I have. I have you. And God has put you here to touch this community, to touch this neighborhood. We need one another. Now listen, I want those of you that already attend our midweek and our Sunday evening services, and it's growing, amen? It's growing, it's been encouraging. It's been wonderful. I want you to speak to your brothers and sisters in Christ this afternoon and encourage them to be here. We're here for 1 hour. 1 hour in and you're gone. Young people, I want you young people to be Sunday nighters. And I don't want you to congregate all the way in the back there. I want you to be front row Sunday nighters. I want you to sit down here in the front. I want you to raise your question. I want you to ask questions of your pastor. Pastor, I don't understand that passage. See, Sunday night, that's what we do. I teach. And if you have a question, you're more than welcome to ask me what is the context of that question. Be a front row person. It's the best seat in the house. You're acting like you don't buy that. Listen, stop hiding out in the back. Amen? Raise your hands. Ask questions. Guys, this is God's house and this is our church. And God has given us a responsibility to be here. So what's the bottom line of all this? We are to worship together and exalt the Savior. We are witness together and evangelize the sinners. We are to work together and encourage one another. And if you want to belong to a church, if you want to belong to a church that means business for Jesus, if you want a place to pour your life into, if you want a church with a heart for the lost, then if you're already a member, then commit to what God is looking to do here. Amen. If you're looking for a church, this is where you should be. I hope God is touching your heart. I'm not looking to steal you from any other church. If you're here and you're on vacation, you're visiting our church, praise God. Amen? Praise God. But if you're visiting, you're wondering, Pastor, I want to get involved with a church that means business. Well, what kind of business? Well, this past week we fed almost 400 people from our food pantry. We closed dozens. We have a free clinic. We were looking to get a doctor. I think we might have found one that's open once a week. We'd like to be open more. Amen? To touch our community. So commit to what God is looking to do here. If you're not a member, then become part of this fellowship and help us impact the world for Christ. What is needed for that? Well, you must first be saved. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. Here's the good news. All you have to do is ask. It's that simple. All you have to do is ask and He will forgive every sin. He will come to your heart and give you peace, power, purpose, and overwhelming joy. And when you die, He'll take you home to be with Him. And all of God's people said,
How do I know?
I know because I was restless.
How do I know? Because I was wild.
Because I was addicted.
I was lost.
Because I was empty.
I know because I was living behind a mask.
How do I know Jesus is alive?
Because he lives in me.
Jesus did what no one else could do for me.
He took the punishment
for my failures,
my wrong decisions,
my selfishness,
my pride,
and my sin.
He was beaten.
He was mocked.
He was tortured,
crucified,
and buried for me.
But on the third day,
he did exactly what
he said he would do.
Jesus rose up
and walked right out of the tomb.
And in the summer of 1985,
July of 2007,
February 2005,
June 2003,
and in August 1995,
he walked into my life.
And I've never been the same since.
Now I am truly living.
Now I am sober.
I am at peace.
I am fulfilled.
Now I am free.
Now I'm found.
My God,
my Savior,
my best friend,
my Lord,
my Jesus
is alive.
The tomb may be empty,
but my heart is full.